You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
Welcome everyone to 1 Million Cups of Appleton. Super great to be back here. We're officially in fall now, right? So we are getting close towards the end of 2020, which I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to. Great to be here. Today we have a guest from, like I just said, from Waco, or no, not Waco, from, help me out, Ken. Fort Worth, Texas, yeah. An exciting app, probably one of the best things about everything that's going on and this transition to digital is that we can see what other people are doing across the country. So today we are all plugging into Fort Worth, Texas to learn about Legacy of Love, which is an app that I know a little bit about, but I'm really excited to hear the presentation. So Ken, welcome to 1 Million Cups Appleton, and the floor is yours. So feel free to share your screen and I'll give you a thumbs up when we can see it.
Awesome. Let me go ahead and share. And all right. Well, I echo your sentiments about the beauty, if you can take some beauty out of this very strange environment we're in, is that we've all gotten real familiar with communicating with people via live video from around the country and around the world. So for that, I'm grateful and super grateful for you all having me today as your guest. So I appreciate that. My name is Ken Wimberly. I'm the founder and CEO of Legacy of Love. And what Legacy of Love is a cross-platform app designed to freeze frame time and capture the precious little moments of life that might otherwise fade away with the passing of time. We're a parent-to-child journaling app designed to be the easy button to capture memories, leave lessons, share gratitude, and impart wisdom for future generations. The idea of this app was planted over 15 years ago with a gift I received on my 34th birthday from my stepmom, Donna. And that gift was a leather-bound scrapbook that was filled with photographs and stories of my youth. It had pictures of my cousin and aunt who had passed away many, many years ago. It had dates on the pages so I knew how old I was. And it was filled with handwritten notes in the margins that told stories of the many trips we would take together as a family and the jokes and pranks we played along those trips. It chronicled my life from birth to childhood, adolescence, my time at military school, my college graduation, and then through to my marriage and birth of my children. I cried when I received that. I was so moved by the thoughtfulness of that single gift. I could only imagine how much time and effort she had taken to pull it all together. It must have been countless days and nights of digging through boxes of photos, double checking dates, researching the trivia and surname history that she included in the gift for me, and then putting it all together. And I was grateful beyond measure. And 2 years later, Donna was diagnosed with bone cancer. And while she fought a brave and hard battle, we eventually lost her. That beautiful leather-bound journal today serves as a testament to her love for me. And that gift started me on a years-long path of journaling to my own children. I wanted something I could do to capture the moments that we're having in our lives and keep them so that I could one day pass down to my kids. I made a simple commitment to write in a journal to each of my children at least once per month. And I started this process when my daughter was just 1 year old and my son was still in the womb. Today, Grace is 17 years old and Knox is 16. I have hundreds of entries that I've written in their journals. And those entries have led to dozens of conversations with other parents about what I was doing. Then many of whom started their own process of journaling to their kids. And one of the greatest gifts I can get is when they would text me photos of them starting their journal. And I saw firsthand just how powerful it was for parents to start slowing down and appreciating the moments as they were happening in their lives and then capturing those memories to pass down to their kids. And that inspired me to create what is today Legacy of Love. We're a safe, secure digital home for parents to document the precious moment, precious memories they want to pass down to future generations. So you can include written stories, audio files, saved voicemails, photos, and video. And unlike social media, we're a private place where you can be fully transparent, vulnerable, and share the realness of your life. And when the time is right, you can pass this on to your children or grandchildren. We're, you know, working on partnership with a book company to make it easy, ideally one step easy, to export your entries to a hardcover book format. One of the coolest little features that we've built into this app is the ability to track any entry as a milestone. And then we can display all of those milestones on a beautiful timeline view. And I'll show you a quick demo here.
By far our most popular feature is the timeline view that allows you to see a digital timeline of your child's life. In this case, I have my son Kai and his major milestones of his life on timeline view. You can see the first entry was a sonogram that we had, you know, 5 months before he was born. And the entry with the day he was born onto his very first word, it, oddly enough, 2 months old, took a while to get the second word out. But from the time he rolled over, his concert, starts crawling and walking, first airplane ride, 1 year checkup, his 1 year summary, and he's walking and he's potty trained, and he's 2 year birthday, his actually first rodeo, on and on. All of the major milestones that we've documented thus far in his life have been captured and displayed on this beautiful timeline view. And then for any of the entries, the beauty of this is that you click on any of the entries and the system will show you a snapshot of the entry that you made for that particular journal entry, where you can click show event details here and go in and see the entire entry that was made, including all of the photos, all of the stories that you told about this particular entry, and all the way down into the bottom of the entry here, where you can even see the details on any tags you gave, or in this case, the age of the person when you wrote this entry. So Kai's first camping trip, he was 4 years old here. So pretty neat feature, and for sure our most popular.
So we launched the app in May of 2019, and by the end of the year, we had grown to just over 1,000 subscribers. So it was proof positive for us that we had a fairly good product market fit right there. Today, we've grown to a little over 3,100 subscribers. We're going at a rate of about 50 to 100 per week. We have a freemium business model. So our basic plan is free. We have kind of limited availability in what you can do in the basic plan, yet it's free. People can use it and never pay a thing. And then we have two paid versions. One is our premium plan, which includes all of our features, the video, the audio, the timeline view, all those good things for $7.49 a month or $69.99 a year. In a family plan at $10.49 a month or $99.99 a year. The only difference between premium and family is the family plan allows you to add up to 6 additional family members into the same plan that can journal into the same kind of platform to your children or their grandchildren, or it could be a nanny or a favorite aunt or uncle, something like that. And then we recently started offering a free 14-day premium trial for people that come on so they can get to experience all of the features that we've got. And for all of our 1 million cups family, so here's a link. I can probably post that link in the chat here that goes to access to give the free 14-day premium trial for any 1 million cups. And again, the premium, it includes, we're about to unlock it to be unlimited photos. What we had originally done was 30 photos per entry. But we're about to just unlock that to where it's unlimited photos. And then the ability to add audio files and voicemails and video files as well. And it unlocks the milestone and timeline feature in there as well. And then lastly, just encourage everyone to check us out and at our website of legacyoflove.app. And if you have the ability, I teach a class that really digs deeper into this overall subject of capturing memories. And well, it's a class about using the power of learning, laughter, and love. And it ties along with capturing memories. If you'd like to attend one of those, love to have you one of those. With that, that's what I have for you today. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. And let me also copy this link for you if I can.
Sorry. Hey, thanks, Ken. This is really cool. Not every day that we also get a tech entrepreneur on 1 Million Cups. So I love that as well.
Let me be clear. I'm the non-tech founder. So yeah, I'm struggling my way through this stuff. But I appreciate
it. Hey, same. I mean, if I had to code our system, it would never get done is what I tell people. So, yeah. But hey, great to have you here. Any questions for Ken today? I'll start with a question because I'm curious to know, Ken, and you said just now, you know, you're a non-technical tech entrepreneur. So how did you develop an app without the technical skills?
Boy, if I only knew now or knew then what I know that, no, you know, how am I supposed to say that? If I had the knowledge I have, you know, today, back then, I would have done it differently. But I can tell you how I did it was I started just by asking lots and lots of questions and meeting people. I'd met a handful of people that had developed some apps. It's like, okay, how do you do it? And they said, well, first you create a wireframe. What's a wireframe? Never even heard of the term right there. And they kind of started walking me through the stages to create an app. And then I started eventually interviewing app kind of developers. But at the time, again, like now I know so many sources to go get connected and find resources. Then I didn't. I was like a goldfish swimming in the ocean, to be quite honest. And so I reached out to my network. Hey, who do you know? Who do you know? Who do you know? I started talking to some people, interviewed about four different companies pretty seriously with proposals from them, and ended up going with someone that I actually knew personally who had a real estate app that he had created. So I was like, okay, I at least know this person and know they created an app. And then they had a team that helped us to get it all done and do the coding. He had a team in India that actually did all the coding for us of the initial. Now, what we've got now is vastly different from what we started with a year and a half ago. Because frankly, that initial guy that helped me to build the app, I realized that he was great in kind of trying to do everything that he could and thought that we wanted. But he had no guidance or advice, like design input, anything like that. And right now I've got a great tech team that I've hired, but he just didn't have that at the time. So short answer is I struggled through.
Yeah, sure. So if you don't mind me asking, like, how did you pay for that? I mean, are you bootstrapped? Did you raise money?
Like, initially I was all bootstrapped and I figured that I could bootstrap the whole thing. And, yeah, it's crazy because in my mind, I would just start this and the idea is so great that I would launch it. And kind of like, if you build it, they will come. There's going to be tens of thousands of subscribers overnight and diving in and wanting to pay for our product. And I figured it would be self-sustaining pretty quickly. When that didn't manifest and show up that way. So I self-funded to about the first, you know, $130,000. And I was like, I can't keep doing this. I said, I've got to go raise money. And so I went out and did a small equity raise on it. And okay. I originally went to go do about $250,000. And I got some advice that was probably shooting too low and that I should go raise more. And so I went for $500,000 and went kind of did a raise on that. So we've collected some of that. Some is committed, but just hasn't been collected yet.
Sure. Yeah, that's cool. Again, it's not every day that we get a, venture or at least, you know, invested startup on 1 Million Cups too. So that's really, really great to hear. Any questions from the crowd today, guys? I could go all day long, but.
I'll ask some questions.
Go for it.
I think the app is a brilliant idea, and I think it's something everybody should want. The biggest thing that jumps out at me is that this is something, it takes a lot of commitment to catalog your child's entire life, or, you know, early life or whatever. Are you doing anything within the app to keep people motivated to keep up on this, for one thing? And are you seeing with your current subscribers that people are coming on, using it for a couple months, and then life gets busy and they just stop using it?
Great questions. So we have some prompts right now that as a subscriber, you can go set reminders. So remind me if I haven't journaled to, let's see, at three kids, and you can set a reminder for each kid. For me, it's you know, Grace, Knox, and Kai. Well, if I haven't journaled to Grace in the last 3 weeks, that's what I've said is my personal reminder. If I haven't journaled in 3 weeks, remind me to go back and do it again. And so we'll, through that, send you out email reminders that come out to remind you. We're now starting to do push and kind of pop-up reminders to remind people to do it right there. And like, I know for me, and it's interesting because we have to test everything that we're doing. But for me, the pop-up reminders really do help me to remember that, oh, I did want to do this. Like, I have an app that I track the miles that I drive for work, and it will pop up every so often and say, is now a good time to classify? And it reminds me, oh yeah, I actually do like to use this app, and I do want to classify these things. So we're hoping to get that same kind of effect. In terms of how have we noticed people will use, yes, some people will jump in and have the best of intentions and like, ah, this is going to be great. And they'll start and just never hear from them again, or might not hear from them in months again. And others have really started some new habits. I've noticed several people that have made Daimler a daily commitment to journal, which was bigger than I ever wanted to do. Like I mentioned in the presentation, I made the commitment once a month. And to get to your initial comment of, it's a lot of work to document your children's life over the entire thing. Yes, and it is. And if you commit to once a month, spend 30 minutes once a month for each kid and just write a little story, 30 minutes a month. And that starts to build the muscle and the habit to get into this. And so now I generally do it more frequently than once a month because I really enjoy it. And I've built that habit, but just a little habit of once every single month over time, even just that adds up to hundreds and hundreds of entries over the course of your child's life right there. So, and it's the little things that add up to the big things.
And is that ratio of people that are just jumping off and the people that are sticking with it? Are you happy with that ratio, or do you feel like?
God, I'm never happy with a ratio like that. No, I want to see many more people, you know, really taking the time to make the commitment to their families, to themselves, because I know both personally and from so many people that are doing it frequently, the reward that comes out of it. And the reward is much, here's what I don't know. I don't know how my children are going to receive it yet. My daughter turns 18 next year. I mean, she graduates high school next year and turns 18, but I'm giving it to her on her high school graduation. So I don't know how it will be received. I don't know the impact it will have. I know what I'd like that to be, but I do know what it's done for me. And I do know what it does for a lot of others that are doing this on a constant basis. And it's extremely rewarding to them. And I know what it meant for me to receive that scrapbook from my stepmom. And I still go back to that every year and dig through it and show it to my own kids.
The other question I have too then is, I see this, your app is being a place where you would put all of your memories, but then I could see a person wanting to be able to go in and cherry pick those memories and possibly share some of those to social media. Is that built into the app, or is that planned to be built into the app?
It is very much planned. Yeah, it's planned by the end of this year. We'll have that feature in place. Because you're exactly right. There are certain entries that are just fun or funny or shareable that you might want to share to social media, or you might want to share personally just to a few family members. And so we're going to build it into where you could text it, email it, share it to social, however you choose to share, you can do that. And also, you know, from listening to so many more tech companies and what they've done and how they built their companies, that'll be a way for us to have a little branding that goes along with it when it's shared.
Awesome.
I was going to say, like right now, I know my mom will go down to the basement, pull photos out, and just take photos of the photos of us as kids and post them on our birthdays. So I'm sure she would love a one tap, like, you know, select all the photos from the Legacy of Love app and, you know, oh, it's Andrew's birthday. So share. Sounds easy to me. Hey, Ken, when you say that you're giving, you know, the scrapbook to your daughter, and I think you touched on this a little bit, but what is, like, so someone spends a ton of time, you know, through 18 years of their kid's life, putting content into the Legacy of Love app. What does it actually look like when you give it to them today? Like, how do you give someone the content inside of Legacy of Love?
Yeah. Well, I am the test case on this. So I literally, as I have Grace so close, it will be, but, and I'll give it to her. And when I started this process, it was long before I ever thought of creating something. It was before apps were even a thing, right? It's just journaling in a Word doc.
Yeah.
And, but the thought was that I would give this to my children in a beautiful leather bound, you know, hard copy format right there. And I intend to do that, and I'll make it so that other parents can do that into some book format. But also, because of the digital content, the audio files and the videos that are in there. So we'll also have in essence, a media file to give that they can have an access. It'll be kind of read only, where they couldn't annotate or anything, but it'll be a read only media file that they can go through and just look at it as if it's the existing program on a read only basis.
Yeah. So is that like, you know, you would give them access to the app, or it would like show up as a file on their computer?
I don't think it ends up as access to the app. And the short answer is it's not built yet, and we're still kind of thinking through that. Yeah, the short answer is it's not built. I don't think it's going to be access to the app. And I'll tell you a couple reasons for that. One is if, you know, someone downgraded their account, said, oh, I don't want to continue paying. I don't want to have it. And I just want to, you know, shut it off, but obviously I don't want to lose my data. So we would have a file that we can provide to people that they have right there. So that's one reason. And the other is that for someone like me, I'm going to give this to my daughter at high school graduation. But now I will continue writing stories to her about her life until the day I die. And it will be my final parting gift to her. And she won't get those until that time. It'll be my final parting gift, though. So I want to give her what's been done up to that point and then continue on with the process.
Yeah, makes sense. Any questions from anyone else? We have a decent crowd today, but quiet. Anyone else?
There'll be some questions out there.
You guys hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, everybody. Ryan Anderson. I guess I'll give a more formal intro later, but it's my first time, so thanks for having me. Ken, I've got a few different questions or like thoughts, but what is maybe what's your biggest barrier right now, or what area could you use the most help on?
Yes. Client acquisition, right? Scalable customer acquisition. And I mean, scalable is we've run a number of things we've tested Facebook and Instagram ads. So cold media ads, and they work, at a cost. They work. And so we figured out on Facebook, we can get, Android installs, people to go. It's interesting that you can dial it in like that, right? So you get Android installs for about $4.50 an install. Now that's a free download right there, and so then we've got to get them to convert to paid right there, and then the iOS rather installs are almost double that. They're pushing $7-$8 an install on those. And what I guess what the industry will tell you is that people with iPhones actually spend money on apps, and people with Androids tend not to. They tend to use all the free apps. And so the iPhone users, the iOS users tend to actually become more of your paid subscribers. And we've recognized that that's kind of happened with us. But in either case, cold media sucks for conversion, at least for us. Like, we have not gotten that magic pill into conversion for cold media. Whereas if people come to us, obviously via, friendly referrals, if they come to us via, they've heard me, I do a lot of podcasts. If they hear me on a podcast, or they see me speak somewhere, they hear something like that, it's high engagement, high conversion on there. Whereas if it's cold, we've kind of captured them with an ad somehow, it's not near as much. So to the question of, where's my pain point? It's figuring out the scalable customer acquisition, without crazy cost.
Do you know what people's like barriers are to, committing or engaging? Have you kind of, and maybe this group of people can help out, like maybe not at the moment, but we could give some feedback too on like, if we saw that ad, what would we be thinking about? And maybe that's something you can design around.
Perhaps. I like the barrier to engagement question as much as anything on a utilization question on the app and stuff like that. That's a great question for thought right there. And I can tell you that along those lines, so we're looking at using some new software that will allow us to basically run tests with our actual clients and test with just a cold audience that will participate in a test. Hey, here's a new app, but you try it out and do these things get live feedback from that. So we're looking at
cool.
Picking up a new software program. It's one more thing to go spend money on. However, that's the kind of data that a tech company really needs right there. So,
okay. Yeah. Love the concept. Like, it hits on some pain points that we've felt as a family individually. So, I'd be happy to give you feedback later too, if helpful, because it resonates with me. So
I would love that. And if you download and use the app, then for sure. Happy to, I'll put my personal email in the chat here, and you guys can email me anyone. If y'all use it, any thoughts, feedback, suggestions, pain points, love to hear any of those, so that we can make things as user-friendly as possible.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Hey, Ken, have you thought about or looked into like getting influencers or hiring, working with influencers, particularly in the parenting space?
Yeah, that's a great question. We ran one influencer test and it was less than stellar. However, okay. I don't let that overall taint me against it. And I think it depends on how the influencer goes about promoting things. And we did it as a giveaway, where the influencers promoted a giveaway that we were doing. We gave away a Canon camera system. And so the influencers promoted it to their audience. And we're just like, I have, a 250,000 followers, and I have 400,000 followers, and yet everyone's got all these followers. And then you have all these followers, yet the engagement was pretty mediocre on it. And it could have been the type of campaign we ran. We thought it would be pretty high engagement. It's hell. Download our app and actually it wouldn't even download the app. It was like us on Instagram and a couple other little things right there. And you got entered in for a drawing for a $700 camera. So we thought it would be much higher engagement than there was. So, however, I believe that getting a certainly a parenting influencer that, you know, actually, I want someone that will actually use the program. You know,
yeah, if I was going to say
they'll do it and use it and it means something to them. That's going to come from their heart. And I think is going to move the needle.
That seems like kind of the tricky part is like, how do you have a, you know, social proof of your concept when it takes 18 years to raise a kid, right? but it only takes, you know, a little bit to use the app, but still the exciting part, you know, and just talking about your presentation, you know, the part that moved me about your presentation was you go right to this leather bound book that your stepmom gave you. And I'm just like, oh my God, like this is deeply personal. I feel like he's, you know, sharing a big part of his life, which is great. I will say, so we've looked into influencers and from what I can tell in my research, finding the more micro influencers, people who have less followers but higher engagement, seems to me like just in my marketing experience to be better money spent than, you know, lots of followers and hardly any of engagement. But of course it's tricky to just find them, right? I mean, find the micro influencers.
But that is the trick. And in doing that, I think those are the kind of things that can start to move the needle.
Yeah.
So now I appreciate you bringing that back up. I'm kind of looking at my little marketing list of things to do here and adding
always
that.
A list.
Influencers is not, it's not even on here right now. I need to make sure and add that back on here.
Yeah, no, to be honest, I haven't had great success with influencers, but we really haven't used them to the best, you know, advantage yet either. So,
one thing that's helping is a lot of influencers have podcasts. And so I'm speaking on average on about 2 podcasts a week right now.
Oh, wow.
And that right there is helping because, again, it gives me, you know, 30 minutes to an hour to tell my story, really talk about the journey and what we've done and what other folks have done. And that definitely resonates well with people. And I can watch spikes in downloads on days where decent podcasts go up.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. And that's a lot of podcasts per week. I'm curious to know how you get on so many podcasts per week.
So let me give you I'm going to just coin this. We'll call it the Ken Wimberly Instagram strategy, which I actually learned from someone else on Instagram, which was beautiful. This guy shared this strategy, and I said, that is the smartest thing. It's a way that not to just pass time scrolling on social media. He said, go search by hashtag, which is topic. I hate the term hashtag. I always have for some reason, but go search by hashtag, enter in the topic that you want to engage with. And so for me, it could be parenting or parenting bloggers or dad podcasts or something like that. And then go look. It's an Instagram will pull up. The first thing it pulls up is the most active or most trending stuff. So don't go there. Those already have tons of comments and likes and shares and stuff like that. So go to the next one next to it, which is most recent. And on the most recent, those are the posts that, I mean, they might've just happened 2 minutes ago is a post right there, or 2 hours ago, but they're the ones that haven't like picked up and they're not usually trending or anything right there. And scroll through those based on the topic that you're wanting to engage with. And then find ones that speak to you that, hey, okay, I can say something. Like I have an opinion on this. I have thoughts on this, and engage with the person that made the post or comment on the post right there. And more often than not, you'll get probably 2 things to happen. One is they'll like your comment and they'll probably respond back to it. And then from there, next step would be go send them a private message. Say, hey, saw your post on this. It meant this to me, and engage with them. And that's the way. So I've been following that strategy right there to go engage with various influencers and people that run podcasts. And I say influencers, some of them are startup podcasts that are brand new. And But you know what? Those are evergreen. They're out there, and it's evergreen, and it's a good thing. So I'm doing everything from startup podcast to, I was on Bigger Pockets, and they have a 250,000. Who knows how many they have now? At the time I did it, they have like 250,000 downloads.
That's cool. And that's great strategy, everyone, for people starting a business. And I'd say you should start doing that even before you have your app or even your business. That's what I would say is like, if I had a lesson to learn from starting a tech company is you don't need the tech to start your company. You know, like you can get going and build that audience up. And that's a great Instagram strategy. And also, I mean, you can do that on any platform, really, with the hash browns, you know. So
that's right. Yes, you can. I've done it on Facebook as well. But it's a cool, simple strategy, and you know, spend 10, 15 minutes a day doing that.
That's great. Well, hey, Ken, we always we'll kind of wrap up here because we're getting close on time, but we always end the presentation, and you've kind of touched on this already, but you know, how can the community, or what can the community do for you? I forgot. It's been a couple of weeks since I've had to ask that question. So what can the community do for you, Ken?
Look, spread the word. Okay. If this spoke to you at all, spread the word, share our website out to your communities and your people. You know, if it speaks to you, download the app and use it. And then the other thing that I mentioned briefly is that I teach a 1-hour class. I did it live for a while, and now it's all Zoom. The beauty of Zoom and Zoom webinars is I can teach the class around the country without having to fly. But I teach a 1-hour course called it was originally titled Leaving Your Legacy. And then we kind of pivoted to 10X Family Connections with 3 Simple Steps. But it's all about using the power of laughter, learning, and love to connect as family. And it's just, I'm passionate about that. Family is my big passion there. And so I teach this class. And then through that class, towards the end of the class, I share my journey of journaling to my children and what's that's meant and how that led to Legacy of Love with a little call to action right there. So if you have groups that you're a part of that you think would benefit from that, I've taught it. I have a Keller Williams franchise, so I've taught it to all kinds of Keller Williams offices. The feedback is really, really positive. So if there are groups that you think would benefit it, I've taught it as small as, you know, 5 people to as big as 200. So it would be, although my Zoom limits out at 100. So I'd be happy to teach that to any groups that you've got that might be of interest.
Awesome. Well, hey, Ken, this has been a great conversation this morning. Thank you so much for chiming in. We're just really glad to have you. And best of luck. And if anyone has any questions or want to continue the conversation with Ken, he's dropped his email in the chat. Feel free to grab that. But really cool work you're doing, Ken. I can tell you're really passionate about it. And thanks so much for sharing your story this morning.
Thank you for having me. I'm really grateful for all of you for being here and sharing your time with me.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place, different startup. Thanks. Thanks for being here, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker. And thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.